Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Turn with me in your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and give me an amen once you are there. And so, Father, again, we come before you this morning with just great joy and gratitude for all that you've done and all that you're doing. You are the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, Lord. You made the heavens and the earth. We just thank you for this beautiful day, the blue skies and the mountains and the hills and around us are so beautiful. They speak of your glory. They speak of your power. And Lord, as we study your word now, we need your power. We need your strength. Holy Spirit, minister to us. Give us your humility, for you say you teach the humble your way, but you resist the proud. So, Lord, remove any pride in us and open our eyes to the reality of your spiritual realm. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, amen. Amen. All right. So, in this second letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul is defending his character and his apostleship. The first letter he wrote to them was one of great exhortation and instruction and even rebuke, because the church was, in a way, living like the world. They had allowed sin to come into the church and it was unchecked. And so the first letter that he penned was one that would have been challenging for the church, but as a whole, they received it well, right? And the Bible says that we are to receive godly correction well, and it's not good if we harden our neck and disregard the corrections of the Lord. And so as a whole, they received it well, but there were some who didn't receive it well. And the devil, as you know, in this world is always at work. And even within the church, false teachers crept into the Corinthian church and began to attack the Apostle Paul's credibility, his apostleship, his character. And so in this second letter, as we read the wonderful instruction, keep in mind that it's also a defense against these false teachers, because if the devil can get people to go against their shepherd, his apostle, the church, then he can really do damage. And so the Apostle Paul is really addressing them. And he said in the early part of chapter 4, he said, we have received this ministry, right? He's reminding them that the ministry, his calling, he has received it, and he has received it from Jesus Christ. He said, we have received this ministry as we have received mercy. Who was the one who gave Paul mercy? He was the chief of sinners, he said, but he received mercy from the Lord. He received the ministry. He has received mercy. And so he says, we do not lose heart, right? He does not lose hope. He does not lose heart, because if God was merciful to him, then God would carry out his plan in Paul's life. He had confidence because of the mercy of God that he had received. He said, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully. That's a knock against the false teachers right there and then. He's saying we haven't walked in craftiness. Well, they are. He said, nor have we handled the word of God deceitfully. Well, they were. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And so the apostle said, there's a difference between them and us. We're speaking the truth. We are, you know, commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. In other words, he cared fully about his life being one that's true, one that spoke the truth, nothing to hide. And so he was a legitimate man, him and those who helped him. And the result of being true to God and to the calling of his life was that he faced persecution. And in this chapter, he shares with them just how hard it had been for him. The apostle Paul, for those of us who know the Bible, he went through so much pain and so much suffering, both physically, psychologically, spiritually, in all matters. The apostle Paul was super blessed by God, but he faced all of these trials. He says in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And so he said, you know, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted. All of these negative things have happened to him, but he says he's not forsaken. He's not in despair. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ comforted him in every one of those trials and persecutions. Christ was with him. And that doesn't change. There's no difference between him and our lives today. If we desire to live godly before the Lord, if we desire to live a holy life in this world, we are going to face persecution. We are going to face hatred. That comes with the territory. Jesus said that a servant is not greater than his master. If they hate you, know that they hated me first. They will hate the believer. And you see it in our country today. You see it in pop culture. The hatred towards Christians, conservative Christians. Why? Because they stand for the truth of the word of God. And because of that, there's persecution and there's hatred. But like Paul was comforted by the Lord, he was not forsaken. Neither will you or I be forsaken for living a holy life in this God-forsaken world. Amen? So stand for the truth. This is not a seeker-friendly church. We, by God's grace, preach the whole truth here. The both sides of the sword, if you will. The part of grace and love and mercy, but also of judgment to come. And rebukes of life and those kinds of things. And so, because we know that the best thing for us is to stick with the truth of God, no matter what comes against us. He would say in verse 14 of chapter 4, knowing that he, that is Jesus, or the Father, I should say, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. In verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Why does he not lose heart? Because he just said it. Because Paul knew that one day soon, God is going to raise him up, the church up, and all believers up together with Christ in heaven. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The apostle Paul calls his affliction, his persecution, them ostracizing him, them cutting him off. He considers that a light affliction because of the exceeding and eternal weight of glory that he was looking forward to. And that is how he was able to be joyful in his life in spite of the trials and the persecutions. Because his eyes, Paul the Apostle's eyes, were on heaven constantly. And I think that there is no better time in history than now to be more focused on the eternal life. If you think about it, not a day is promised to any of us. If we die today, and it doesn't matter how young or how old you are, the older folks are wiser. Their bodies are speaking to them that, oh, it's soon. I'm going to get a new body soon. I can tell. My knees speak to me when I get up off the floor. They snap, crackle, and pop. That's just the Lord saying it's soon, Ryan. It's soon. But the Word of God says, you know, the psalmist writes, Lord, help me to number my days that I might gain a heart of understanding. If we all lived every day like it was our last, we would be way more holy than we are. We would be more forgiving than we are. So, Lord, help us to live every day as if eternity is a breath away, a heartbeat away, because it is. And no matter what trial you and I are going through, what is it in scale, in comparison to what Jesus has in store for all of us who believe in him? It is so incredibly amazing in heaven with our glorified bodies that the Apostle Paul, who was taken up to the third heaven, said, it would be a sin to speak of the things that he saw. So glorious, so beautiful. And his eyes were on heaven. Eternity was right there. And that's why he was able not to lose heart. And there's too many of us losing heart because, you know, we think of heaven as a far distant place. Oh, it can be today. It can be today. Wise is a saint who believes it can be today. And so in verse 1, we read of chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus said that he would go and prepare a place for us, that in his Father's house are many mansions. The Apostle Paul says, this we know. That if this earthly house, right? He's speaking of our earthly bodies, these tents that we have. He refers to it in other passages. It's a tent. These bodies are temporary. They're not permanent. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know, one time I'm trippy like this. I was looking at my wife's beautiful eyes and just considering eternity for a second. And I said, honey, I wonder what your future body's going to look like. How we're going to, you know, you look in your friend's eyes, your loved one's eyes, and wow, in there is our soul, is our spirit. What is the true us going to look like when he gives us that glorious body one day? This is temporary. And he says, if this earthly house, this tent is destroyed, he says, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If 10 out of 10 of us, if the rapture does not happen in our lifetime, 10 out of 10 of us will die. So then these earthly houses, these tents will indeed be destroyed one day. The Apostle Paul, I mean, it happened to him. We know that he was martyred for the Lord. In Rome, Caesar Nero cut his head off, had him decapitated for his faith in Jesus Christ. Paul would write to Timothy towards the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. See, the apostle knew that indeed his body was going to be destroyed. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance. My time is up. He knew. He knew he was going to be martyred for the Lord. But he said, oh, it's going to be glorious because there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself will deliver to me, not only to me, but all those who love his appearance. That's you and me who are seeking him out and waiting for his return, we also will be rewarded. And there's much more to say about that in this chapter. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know, while we're speaking about our earthly bodies, I think it's a good time to be reminded that since we only got one body on this side of heaven, you think we should treat it well? And I know that's the big thing everywhere. I know social media goes nonstop of the right thing to eat and the right way to exercise and the right way to do this and the right way to fast and all of those things. Should we let them go in one ear or out the other? Or so there's some biblical truths from the Lord that maybe we should take good care of our bodies better than we have been. And I don't want to guilt everybody at stinking 11 in the morning, you know, because I'm no example of of health here. But I'm trying. You trying? We should try. Scripturally, we should. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The toughest part of that verse is you are not your own. Oh, my goodness. I've been eating, Lord, like I am my own. But our bodies are the temple of the living God. It says a lot about us. And so just don't feel condemned, but feel convinced, feel blessed that in the strength of the Lord, we can make better choices so that we can serve him with more energy, with more passion, with more zeal. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "For bodily exercise profits little." And a little in God's economy is a lot. It's good to go for walks. It's good to try to do something, to keep moving while we're alive, to not be stationary. In the old days, people walked everywhere. There was a lot more walking. There was a lot more. We know the apostle and the apostles, along with our Lord, they walked from here to there. Now we have the most comfortable cars and the air conditioning offices. And, you know, if you don't have a physical job, you kind of just sit there and it becomes harder to move. And so it's good to consider these things. Is it not? Yeah. It is. For me, I love playing tennis. All ex-gang members love playing tennis. It's just a sign that I've been saved by Jesus Christ, that I'm a new creation, and I love to surf and play tennis and basketball and all that. Whatever you can do, do it. Do it. It helps. Verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." And so here, you know, the Apostle Paul says that we groan earnestly desiring to be further clothed in our glorified bodies. And that is true. I have found that to be true in 25 years of walking with the Lord. You do feel it, as I said earlier, as we get older, we do feel it. Our bodies groan. And, you know, if you're going through illnesses right now, if you are going through, you know, some terrible physical trial, know that soon and very soon you will receive a new body. But we all will. We all will. And so there's hope in that the pain won't be there forever. I have a disability with my eyes. A couple years ago, I just started seeing, illuminated like little pixels in my vision. And just out of nowhere, woke up one morning. And it's been there ever since. And so the eye doctor says they have found nothing other than I need reading glasses. And the neurologist said that they see nothing either in the CAT scans and in the MRIs. And the Lord shared with my heart that this sickness is not unto death, but for his glory. And so it's one of those, my grace is sufficient for you kind of things that I'm dealing with. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to get new eyes in heaven. And whatever your ailment is, we're all going to get new bodies. We're all going to be with the Lord soon and very soon. In Romans 8, verse 22 through 26, Paul says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." And so the whole of creation is groaning, not just us as believers. I love my dog Tozer very much. He's a half poodle, half terrier. And so he's shaggy and he's black, perfectly black with a little white stripe here, like a bow. But in the morning I walk him, and every time I get up out of bed, he stretches in front of me. And I just think that is so awesome, that creation itself is teaching me that, it's like he's exasperated, right? Like he slept all night and he better stretch for this walk. Creation shows you, it's beautiful. I was out on a trail yesterday and our beautiful mountains near Whitewater and the hills and the stream there, it's so stunning. It's so beautiful. But if you look at the micro levels of creation there, there are some things being eaten and killed because it's a fallen world. And no matter how beautiful these snow-capped mountains are, we're in a fallen world, and creation itself is groaning for the redemption of itself. And Jesus Christ will one day restore and give us a new heaven and a new earth. Anyways, I was going to say, back on the point of exercising and getting our rest and eating better. As the ministry has grown, it has been more, God has made it more evident to myself that I need to take my body a lot more serious as the responsibilities of the church grow. Does that make sense? So whatever responsibilities you have, one children, two children, more children, whatever, it sleep becomes way more important, right? Grandparents, when the kids are coming over, it's like, okay, let's get a couple nights of good rest before they come, because they're coming. So whatever the responsibility or whatever the Lord is leading you and I to, if we want to take care of ourselves. And so, for we who are in this tent grown, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. I like that. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God. You and I are being prepared every single day as the outer man is perishing, the outer woman is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. We are being prepared, and by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us as a guarantee. The word guarantee is a down.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.